the children are not going to learn to be loving in a church family until they've learned to be loving at home.
In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are tired and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today with my daughter Valerie Shepherd. Our topic was homeschooling yesterday. And another question, Val, that people are always asking me when they find out that my daughter homeschools is, but what about socialization?
To me, the best socialization that children can have is in their own families, with brothers and sisters or with their parents. They need to learn respect to older ones, and they need to learn kindness and patience with younger ones. We have a letter here from one who says, "Is it necessary that children be with peers?" I really don't think it's necessary. Sometimes it may be helpful to have a friend or two over. The question comes next, what if they enjoy adults more? Is it harmful for them to be with adults? If the adults are responding lovingly to their children, answering questions, taking the attention, giving them the attention that they need when it's needed, then it's not harmful at all for children to be with adults. And I know as an only child that I was considered more mature than my peers just because I was used to being talked to by my mother. And I enjoyed sitting around. I remember loving to listen to my mother's conversations with adults. And I really don't think it's harmful. You hear a lot of mothers saying, "Oh, I'm putting him in school because he needs to be with children his own age." And I don't think that's right. I think
it's not the way God arranged things, is
no.
it? I mean, he didn't put anybody in peer groups.
Not at all.
It's always the family, which is the central unit of society, and it is, as you say, that is the place where you learn kindness and unselfishness and forbearance and forgiveness and all the rest of it.
I really believe that the family is a microcosm of the church. It's like a little church, and that the children are not going to learn to be loving in a church family until they've learned to be loving at home with brothers older and sisters younger and younger brothers that are little pests, and learning to be forbearing, as you said. I've found that the more my children spend time with peers, the more they come home dissatisfied and discontent with their own family and disdaining their younger sisters. And I've found that the more I keep them at home, the more I have a handle or an understanding of how they're behaving. I remember when I first sent Walter off to kindergarten, he disdained his younger sister, and I remember her longing for him to come home to play. And even when he got home, he wasn't the least bit interested in playing with her because he'd already gotten into this thinking that he had to be with five-year-olds. So I'm really thankful to homeschool because I like the interaction, even though sometimes they're naughty. I like to see that they're learning to be helpful to a younger one and learning. Sometimes it's really hard on their pride to take what an older brother or sister might have to offer them or have to give them as advice, but I think it's good for them.
Well, and I noticed I was talking with Walter, your 14-year-old, about his sister Christiana, who's 9, and with whom
he has a hard time
there's
with her.
There's quite a bit of difficulty, right?
Uh-huh.
And Christiana is given to outbursts of protest and crying once in a while. And Walter's remark to me was, I said to him, what is your problem with Christiana? And he said, She's just so silly. She's so silly. And I said, but she's 9 years old. Uh-huh. She's only 9 years old. To a 14-year-old boy, any 9-year-old girl is going to seem silly. You have to be forbearing, and that's where it comes in. So this thing about peers, I would most emphatically agree with you that it's not only not harmful for children to be with adults, it is extremely helpful. Salutary. Mm-hmm. And we were taught not to expect that adults were going to pay attention to us, mm-hmm. but that we must pay attention to them. Mm-hmm. And my parents let us know that the guests that came to our home, and there were very many, were worth listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned, even though there were 6 children in our family, and we would sit there and rarely open our mouths except to ask a question. We mm-hmm. didn't interrupt. We didn't interject conversations of our own. We would ask a question because there were fascinating people there to mm-hmm. talk to, mm-hmm. and we asked questions of our parents, and were expected to be respectful and wait our turn and that sort of thing. So when you homeschool children, you certainly don't spend 6 hours a day as they would spend in school.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
the next question comes, what in the world do your children do with their time, with all that time?
Well, besides the chores that they have to do before school, there is usually laundry to fold in the afternoon because of the wash getting done during the morning while they're doing schoolwork. So laundry to fold and laundry to put away is always a job that they have done in the afternoon, too. And there's also helping with supper and maybe making something extra for supper. And cleaning up rooms seems to me an almost all-day task. They have to clean up the room after breakfast, and then they might have to clean it up again in the afternoon or after quiet time. They have to clean up the den. That's our living room play area. After lunch, before they go to their quiet time, because it'll stay a mess all afternoon unless it's cleaned up at least twice or 3 times a day. So, okay, they have some chores and they have quiet time. Then the rest of the afternoon pretty much is free for the children under 8. My 2 daughters practice flute and piano, so they have to do that sometime in the afternoon or right after supper. And I expect them to help with setting the table, getting ready for supper. So if they're free, they often want to read, or they might want to go play with, we've got just only two neighbor girls that are also homeschooled that they can play with. In the summertime, springtime when it's warm, they go swimming almost every day, which is wonderful.
They do get to play. I'm sure that people might be listening and thinking, these poor shepherd children, they never get 1 second
play.
No,
I've often worried that they might have a little bit too much free time, and I've racked my brain sometimes thinking I need to think of more things that they should be doing. I wish I had more ability in yard work and garden work, because I'd love for them to be responsible for a little plot of ground, but California soil and weather doesn't promote a lot of gardening, plus we have to ration our water. So anyway, there have been times when I've thought I really need to give them more to do, not to entertain them, but to keep their hands busy.
Teach them to work. Mm-hmm. Why is it important to teach them to work?
Well, if a child grows up without any work, he'll grow up never putting away any childish things. He'll always think he has to have some entertainment. So the earlier a child realizes that work can be enjoyable and is productive, and you can see an accomplishment when it's done, the more they will enjoy life, I really believe. And I like to teach my children to be thankful that they can use their hands, to be thankful that they can use their eyes to see cleanliness or disorderliness and uncleanliness, that they can use their feet to run an errand for their mother. And I like to teach them, I try to teach them that when they start to complain, well, I don't want to do that, that if they were doing it for Jesus, would they say the same thing? And that they are doing it for Jesus. If I ask them to run upstairs and get me the diaper pins, then they can do that for Jesus. So I really enjoy especially the little ones, because they haven't gotten into learning to be complaining about jobs yet. They just thoroughly enjoy doing little jobs with their mother.
I've noticed that too. A small child who is given real work to do, such as you've mentioned, emptying waste baskets or emptying the silverware in the dishwasher, and can they climb up on a little stool and put the silverware back in the drawer?
Yes.
They're thrilled
to do that.
Now, where do we get this attitude that the only thing that's any fun is leisure activities, that work is to be hated, and we're to look forward and say, thank God it's Friday, that attitude, where does it come from?
Well, I'm sure the TV and society teaches that because people are always working towards having leisure time. They're always looking forward to the weekend, and they're always looking forward to having school over with so they can play. And you ask most children that go to school what's their favorite part of school, and they'll say recess. Of course, I struggle with trying to help my children, especially as the older, teaching the older ones not to complain about any work at all, that they should be really thankful for any work that they have to do.
Surely the attitude of the parents, though, would be the primary teaching that goes on there. If you and your husband projected an attitude of real hatred to work,
we're
always complaining.
Well, even then, when my husband and I don't project that attitude, it surprises me at how they can complain over a little bit of work that's hardly anything. Because really, I've always shown that we need to do something and we enjoy it. And I enjoy housework, so I don't quite understand where they get this hatred for having to do something. But it's natural sin.
Get it from society, too. They let the world squeeze them into its own mold. Thanks, Val.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.